Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Well, good morning. Just want to welcome you here to the Father's Vineyard this morning. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Did a great job this morning. Amen. Can you just stand to your feet? I want you to just walk around and greet about two people, saying is give them a good encouraging word. Good morning. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Good to see you. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Okay. Y'all still greeting? Amen. I'm going to have to learn y'all how to count, okay? I said two people. I see everybody just, but it's okay, okay. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all feel just a little bit better that somebody spoke to you? Amen. All right. You know, you never know what people are going through, you know. It's good to just encourage people. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us to encourage one another, what? Daily. You know, so it is scripture to encourage each other, so okay. But we just thank God for you this morning and continue to pray for Pastor Terry, Miss Brenda, and Pastor Charlie, and just, you know, and I think I got a request to pray for the Miller family. Some of you might not know Jim and Janet Miller. Jim went home to be with the Lord. They used to be members here years back, but thank God for Miss Barbara bringing that to our attention. And also pray for your cousin, her back. Okay. Joanne. Okay. Let's just pause and pray for them. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you are the healer, Lord. And God, we pray for this back, these legs, Lord, God, that you will make them whole in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you will bring comfort, Lord God, to the Millers, Lord. And God, we lift them up right now in Jesus' name, Lord. And God, we pray for Shane right now, Lord. God, that you will strengthen him as his dad transitions, Lord. And God, we just lift these families up to you, Father, because you're the God that comforts us, Lord. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. If you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians or Colossae, however you want to pronounce that. I want to talk to you this morning, just share something that God has kindly put on my heart. You know, how many know we're living in a time now that you definitely need to know the Word of God? You know, so Paul is talking to the church here, and he's encouraging the church, and he's talking to them about a few things that I want to share with you, and he starts out in, let's look at the second chapter of Colossians, okay? And I begin reading it, the first verse. It says, "For I want you to know that a great struggle, I want you to know how a great struggle I have on your behalf on those who are at Laodicea, and for those who have not personally seen my face." Now, I want to just share a few things on this. I'm not going to unpack a whole lot on this, Laodicea. But what we have to understand, how many know this is the same church that Jesus addressed in Revelation? Okay? And when Jesus addressed them, if you go to Revelation, I think it's chapter 3, and verse 15. If you'll just turn there with me. You know, some people are afraid to read Revelation, but how many know it's the testimony, it's really the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, so it's no need to be afraid of it, okay? And it's in the third chapter and the 14th verse, "To the angel of the church of Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will spear you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich." Notice what he said. "Because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing. And you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And eye staffs to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now, I want to just share that with you, because Paul is saying he had a struggle with the church here in Colossians about the church in Laodicea. And one of the things that he was concerned about was them losing their dependency on God, okay? Because when you read in Revelation, you can go back and read that later on. Notice it said that they were rich and wealthy in themselves, okay? They seen themselves that way, but how many know they had forgot about God? They had left God out of the equation, okay? And you say, well, what does that have to do with us? How many know America is leaving God out of the equation? And I know people say, well, you know, America is God's country. How many know the nations is God's? But it's the people in the nations that serve God that are God's people. See, we don't get a pass just because we're Americans. or you are in some other parts of the country. How many know we all got to be born again? Okay, so there's no giving out or passes, amen, you know, but what I want you to understand here, Paul is saying, I've struggled because I want you to understand something, and this church wasn't far away, this place wasn't far away, but what we have to understand was this, what we have to understand is the Laodicean church, they were wealthy. I mean, that country was wealthy. They had all the they had like hot springs, cold water, and you know, and all these things, and they had medical field. I mean, they just had abundance of things going on in that country, okay? And what we have to understand is this, though. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. See, you know, and I'm not trying to preach a poverty stricken message, but I mean, you know, if we're not careful, you know, we can get deceived because we have a lot going on. We have an excess amount of money in the bank, or we have this or we have that. But how many know it's okay to have things, but don't let things have you, okay? I'm not trying to say, well, you got to be busted and disgusted, you know, to serve God. How many know Abraham wasn't broke? And we're Abraham's seed, but how many know that we got to be aware, you know, that we don't begin to forsake God and our dependency on him for things, because things cannot replace your life. Things cannot change your life. They might can change the way you live, but how many know only God can change your heart? Only God can change your life, and that's our dependency. We got to depend on him for that. Amen. How many know he is the creator? There's no God like our God. See, and this is a difference that we got to make is, yeah, we know there's a lot of things going on in the world, a lot of things that are happening in the world. But I mean, you know, I'm not trying to preach something to you to make you fearful to serve God. And I'm not wanting to tell you, you know, if you do this, God is going to bless you here. You know, I think the problem a lot of times with us is this, that we think, you know, the more I possess is the more I know of God. But how many know that's no indication that you know God just because you possess a lot of things? Just means you got some money to buy some stuff. Okay? That's what it means. I mean, you know, we got money, we spend money, right? I know people don't like you. Don't get in my pocketbook now, preacher. You just stay. No, but I'm just telling you, okay? But let me move on, all right? So Paul is saying, you know, he wanted us to know about these things, you know, because they hadn't personally seen Paul's face, but Paul was just talking to them. Notice in verse 2, he said, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knitted together in love and obtained and all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. And notice what Paul is saying here, you know, that we have been knitted together and have obtained all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge. Now, there is a knowledge that Paul talks about, and there's a knowledge that does what? That puffs up, okay? But there's also a knowledge that brings transformation, and that's the true knowledge of God, okay? Remember, Jesus said, when Jesus taught this in the Gospels, in St. John, he said, you will know the truth. Let's back up. He said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will do what? Make you free. So what Jesus was really saying, how many know, is knowing the truth. And that word knowing is just not head knowledge, but it is a knowledge that will bring transformation. It is a knowledge of knowing the one who spoke the truth. You're coming into an agreement with the knowledge of God to where that you're learning that the knowledge that you have of God is the knowledge that you face your problems with. See, we think, well, God give us knowledge so I can go out here and kind of preach and, you know, and show off my knowledge. But that ain't what God wants us to do. God wants to give us knowledge so we will begin to regulate it in our lives and bring transformation. And then as God give us knowledge and we take that knowledge and begin to use that knowledge against the problems that we are confronted with in this broken world. Big difference, isn't it? Well, you know, that's just what I know. But how many know it ain't for me to brag about? It's for me to use to transform. It's for me to use against the problems that we're facing in this world. You know why a lot of people are giving up? Because they're not applying the knowledge that God has given them. We talk about it and we brag about it, but how many know that's just being puffed up? See, we don't want a knowledge that puffs up. We want a knowledge that does what? Bring transformation. That when I experience things, the knowledge of God is there to help me to get through my experience God's way because I have God's knowledge. That makes sense to you? So when we get in a predicament, we don't need to come unglued. We need to take the knowledge of God's word and begin to apply it to that situation. And watch what God does with it. Why? Because God is the only one. He's the only one that know the human heart outside of the individual. Okay? All right. So let's move on. Verse 3, it says, in whom a true knowledge of God, the mystery that is Christ himself. You know, and I'm going to know Christ is in us. He is in us, you know, and I know that we saw this, you know, he come upon me for others, but he's in me for me. But what is he in you for? To bring transformation, to bring you into the likeness of who Christ is. See, but as long as we take knowledge and begin to fight each other with the knowledge, well, I know a little bit more than you. Well, I don't know more than you. You know, how many know that's being carnal? Paul said that we are, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are not wise. So we're in this together. How many know we're all part of the body, and why should we wrestle and fight with each other? Why? Because we're not growing up. We still want to be children. We want to wrestle with each other instead of what? Encouraging each other. So we got to understand that we're all on different levels, but we're all serving the same God if we've been born again. If we're in the body of Christ, I mean, you know, it doesn't matter what level you're on as long as you're pursuing to grow into the knowledge of Christ. We're all on different levels. That's why we need each other. We can learn from each other. Why? Because God's knowledge is on the inside of each and every one of us. But here's where the problem come in with the church is that, let me just get ready. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay. Let's look at verse 3. It says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Now, if it's all in Christ, how many know Christ has made known unto us wisdom? If it's all in him and he's in me, how many know it's there? It's for me to just ask for it. James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him do what? Ask of God. See, but what we want to do, we want to try to figure it out in our intellect. And then when it don't work, then we want to say, okay, God, now your turn. But really what the wisdom is for me to begin to regulate that wisdom, the know-how, into my life. See, it's no good for me to go around here, well, I got wisdom, you know, and I'm living defeated and all this stuff, you know, don't know how to treat people. How many know that ain't wisdom? See, the wisdom of God is being able to regulate that, being able to apply it to my life when I get the wisdom out of the word of God and begin to cause my life to be more Christ-like or to be more like God or to answer things like God or to treat people just the way God wants me to. So that's what the knowledge is for. He said, in him, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this knowledge is just not a knowledge to be puffed up, but it is a knowledge that will cause you to be influenced into the things that God's word is teaching us. Does that make sense to you? Because see, many of times what we do is, well, when God gives us knowledge, the first thing we want to do is get puffed up. But see, first of all, the wisdom of God is what? Pure. It's not devilish. It's humbled. Okay? So when we get the wisdom of God, it's nothing for me to boast on. If I can't cause that wisdom to work for me, guess what? I can't tell you how to make it work for you. Now, I know this is not a popular message, so okay. But listen to me. The wisdom and the knowledge of God, see, and what we got to understand, when we read the word of God, how many know we're seeking, we can say, well, let's use the word understanding. Would that not be the same word for knowledge? Knowledge comes from him. You can read a book and understand what the book is saying, but until God breathes the knowledge, the Holy Spirit brings this to life and begins to reveal it to you, how many know? You don't really know it. And then once you know it, you're going to be tested on it. See, David said, the word found me and the word did what? Tried me. Sometimes we think, well, it's the enemy trying us. Yeah, the enemy is behind it, but really it's the enemy coming out. Well, I'm going to see, do you really believe what you just read? And sometimes the word will test you. It will test you. It will put you in situations to say, okay, you know, you don't believe in stealing no more, so I'm going to set a trap. I'm going to put some money out there and see where you take it. How many know that people will try you? Okay? But the knowledge of him, it influences me. It's so, the knowledge, I mean, I heard this before, knowledge is powerful. But it's not powerful until it's been applied. It has to be applied. And when it's applied, see, the knowledge of God, the revelation of God, I don't know if you caught it last when Pastor Terry was teaching, he was saying that the revelation of God cannot be taken away from you. Why? Because it's revealed in the Spirit. Okay? So, Paul is telling us some things here, and he's trying to get us to see some things. And don't notice he said in verse 4, and I say this so that no one will what? Delure you with what? Persuasive arguments. Now, that word delure means to deceive by false beliefs. To delure someone is to deceive them by false beliefs. What have the enemy whispered to you that was a false belief? How many of you ever told you, you know you ain't good enough for that? You know you ain't worthy for that. You know you can't do that. See? But John 8 and 44 says, he's a liar. He's a liar. See, and because I know he's a liar, guess what? I don't want to listen to him. I don't want to listen to him. Okay? Let's read that again. And I say this so that no one will what? Delure you with what? Persuasive arguments. Have you ever been minding your own business and people just want to come up and crack a conversation about the Bible and start arguing about it? Just fussing about the word of God. You want me to show you how to handle that? Just say, excuse me one second. What do the words say? I don't want to hear your argument. I don't want to hear what you got. What do the words say about this situation? See, when you bring people to the Word of God, the Word will do what? Speak for itself. You don't have to convince people. The Word of God is so much, it's so much power in the Word of God to where it will do what? Speak for itself. See, but a lot of times what happens is, and I don't mean this out of no disrespect, but sometimes it's just carnality that want to prove that I know more than you. And how many know it's not about that? We got to understand it is not about that. What the Word of God is given to us for is to build each other up in Christ. This lady told me one time, if you can't say nothing good about them, don't say nothing at all. Have you ever heard that before? I mean, you know, that's a good proverb, right? Okay. So we got to be aware of these things. As Paul is letting us know, there will be some that will try to delude you with persuasive arguments. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoice to see your good discipline. And notice what Paul is saying, your good discipline. Other words, I'm not being deceived with false beliefs. I'm not being misled in my mind by this persuasive argument of this person. I mean, you know, the Bible said we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. For even though I am absent body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit. Rejoice to see your good discipline or your good order. I think I hear Pastor Terry Wilson talking about that this morning, discipline. You know, when you have a goal in life, okay, and how many know it's good to have goals because it can point you, it can keep you focused in the right direction, okay? So if you want to build yourself up with weights or you want to become stronger, do you discipline yourself to do the same thing every day? Got some no's, okay? What do? You progress in the weight that brings resistance that you begin to pump a little harder that will build muscle. So if you keep doing the same thing every day, repeatedly every day, how many know you're not increasing your muscle mass? What you're doing is just doing something every day. But if you want to build muscles, you got to bring what? Some resistance that will cause you to do what? Press a little harder. And you do that, then I put a little bit more, press a little harder. For long, you're going to be what? Have some muscles. Okay? So the discipline that he's talking about here is your discipline not to be carried away with this persuasion of arguments that's being delivered. In other words, I'm disciplining the Word of God to keep myself in order with what God's Word have said. When I say keep myself, letting the Holy Spirit yield into him the revelation of the Word that's been taught, that Word, I discipline myself and I cause myself to do what? Obey that Word. It's almost like a military man that's going out to war. I mean, you know, before they ever go to war, they have to be trained. And that's one thing I believe that people do not want to do is be trained. There's nothing wrong with being trained. It's going to help you down the road. Well, I don't need that. I don't need nobody to tell me how to pray. I don't need nobody to tell me how to study the Bible. I don't need nobody to tell me how to pray. I know how to pray. Okay, the same person when he get in a predicament is the one that's crying and give up and throw in the towel. Why? Because sometimes we hadn't been properly trained. And Paul is saying, what he is saying here is, I see your discipline, that you will not move, or you was not what? Delured by this persuasion of argument. And what Paul was dealing with, how many know there are many times that people will come into the churches and try to undermine the truth that has been taught. Do you think we're not headed that way now? People are trying to discredit the Bible and say, you don't need the Bible to know God. All you got to do is look at the universe. How many know that is not true? You don't need the Bible to know God. You don't need God to make it in this world. How many know that's what we're facing? Have you ever been told that you don't even need Jesus to be saved? Every one of us got good in us. How many know that is a lie? There is no other way that you can know God except through his word of God. I mean, you can see his creation, but how many know when you go into deep relationship with God, you need the word of God? Because Jesus said the word in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So we need the word of God to be taught the ways of God. Because you know what? Our ways are not his ways. Why? Because humans will always go the different way. They will stray away from God if they don't have the Holy Spirit leading and guide them in all truth. We need him. We need him. And we need his revelation. We need his knowledge. Why? Because things are coming on the earth now is trying to get us away from really having a relationship with him. Especially this artificial intelligence. Another name for AI. You know, it's funny because when I started studying this and I began to see this, I went to Bojangles to get a sandwich and I was talking to a robot. And I told her, I said, I want an egg and cheese biscuit on dark. She said, I can help you with that. And I said, you ain't gonna believe what just happened. She took my order, sound just like a regular person behind that register up there. And I said, my Lord God. And Lord and behold, something flashed up on my computer saying that AI is wanting to take the place of Jesus. He's doing lecture in the colleges to students, and they say, hey, we like this. Ain't nothing wrong with the media and all this just computer stuff. It's good, but how many know they're going a little bit too far when they try to replace it with Jesus and God? And that's what we got to be aware of, church. I mean, it can be a scary thing, but I'm not trying to put fear in you, but we just got to be aware, okay? All I want you to do is say he just wants us to be aware. Because this is what's happening. But a robot will never replace Jesus. And we got to understand that, church. We got to hang on to the word of God, the truth of the word of God. We got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We got to believe in the virgin birth. We got to believe that his blood is the only one that can save us from our sins. Now, Paul, in their day, it might have been a different, I think it is Gnostic, teachings that they were doing, and some of their teachings was taking people away from the word of God or the truth that was in Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you that we're in and into a day that we got to be aware of these things. We got to know what the word of God is saying, not just to preach the word of God, but to live out the word of God. And this is why a lot of times that when we face things, if we're not careful, you know, the things that are convenient will try to take the place of us experiencing what God has given us. What do I mean by that? We will try to replace that to fix so we won't have to go through things. But how many know that it will not take away, it can't take away the life that Jesus Christ brings. You got to understand that. Don't allow this mess that's coming out to take you away from your relationship with Him. Because it matters. It matters. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, well, let me back up. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless, I am with you in spirit, rejoice to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. In other words, I'm not being moved off of my faith in Christ. The stability. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him. Or that word could be, so live in Him. We walk in Him. We live in Him. I think in the Bible, I think it says that it's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's in Him we live and move and have our being. We walk in Him. I don't know, I'm just kind of piggybacking off of Pastor Terry the other week when he said, you know, even we need to be aware of our walk. Our walk, our relationship with Him. We need to be aware of our walk in God. Why? Because how many know your walk will portray who you are? Verse 7, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. Being what? Firmly rooted and now built up in Him and established in your faith. So what is Paul saying here? Have you ever heard, this might be a little bit for advanced with some, have you ever heard people say, you need to be rooted and grounded in the Word? How many know the roots is where you bring your what? Nutrition's from. That's where the life flow, okay? And David, and even in David, when he said, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the Lord. And in his law, he meditate day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by what? The rivers of water. Even when the dry, even when dry seasons come, it won't wither. Why? Because I'm rooted. And we got to get rooted in the Word of God, church, so that when the things do come, we're not blown away with the wind. Amen. The Bible said that by every wind and doctrine that comes by, we won't be blown away with it. Why? Because we're rooted in Him. We're established in Him. The Bible said there is no other foundation that can be laid but that of Jesus Christ. How many know that He is the chief cornerstone? Amen. Brother Eric, what was that? He's the what? He's the, and the keystone. Amen. So it's Him. We're built up on Him. And how many know when we build on Christ, the Bible said all other ground sinking is sinking sand, but Christ alone I stand. Amen. How many know His foundation is sure? It's been tested. And when we build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, we can be established in Him. You know, have you ever went to a place and you was testing, you know, to see was it a, is that really sound? Can I trust my weight on that? Guess what? You can trust your weight on Christ. Amen. He will not fail you. Amen. And Paul is saying, what he's saying here, that we need to be what? Established. We need to be firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in our faith. Let me read this to you about being established in faith. That word faith there means to be believed, but it also means to be persuaded. Faith, belief in a general, it applies to such a knowledge as assent to and a confidence in certain divine truths, especially those of the gospel. So what he's saying here, my faith, the Bible said faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith, by me hearing the word, and I'm built on the word. I mean, you know, the word is Christ, and that's who I build on. Remember, Jesus gave an illustration. He said that I will show you, he showed us two foundations. And he said, the wise hear the word, and they build on the true foundation, which is the word of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus was teaching this, let's just go there for a second, and I want to give you this, and I'm gonna give you this because I think it's important, okay? Let's look in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. It says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Notice what he said there. Is it just me hearing the word? Come on, somebody talk to me. Acts. Who does the word? Okay, good. Making sure you're awake out there. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smashed against the house, and yet it did not what? Fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And who is the rock? Jesus. So when we build on him, when we hear the word of God and we act on the word of God, I mean, we are compared to as a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, whether you realize it or not, the storm is coming. The rain is going to fall. But it depends on how your house is built. Notice he didn't give instructions how to build the house. He just gave you to put the house on, which is the foundation. You do the building. The Holy Spirit is what? Building you up. See, it ain't building you down. It's building you up. Okay? So likewise, he said on verse 26, and everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be as a foolish man who built his house on the sand. How foolish will you be to build a house on sand? All you need is a good gully wash of water and it's gone. So we want to build on what? The rock. We want to build on the rock. Why? Because the storms is going to come. They're going to come. The flood is coming. And you got to build with the storm in mind. Why? Because it's coming. Okay? Let me jump back to over here, okay? Do you understand that? Okay? So listen to what Paul is saying here. He says, being rooted and grounded and built up in him, established in your faith. What do I need to be established? In my faith. Why? Because your faith is going to be tried. It's going to be put to the test. So it's how you build that determines whether you fall or stand when the storm comes. established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude, being thankful that we know Jesus Christ, being thankful. Verse 8, see to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Notice it said, how many know philosophy is not bad, but when it's according to man and not according to God, it can be bad for you. Okay, you got to look at this, okay? You got to hear what he's saying. See to it that no one take you what? Captive. Through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. And how many know Jesus faced the same thing when he came to the earth, when his disciples did not wash hands? All of a sudden, they began to say, you know, your disciples didn't wash hands before they eat. And Jesus said, you know, your traditions make the word of God without effect through your tradition. But how many know there is a good tradition that we can hold on to that's been handed down through our forefathers, which is a good tradition. But when a tradition is made by man to try to substitute the word of God, I mean, you know, we got to watch out for that. We need to pay attention to that. Okay? Why? Because what men will try to do, listen to what he says here. He'll tell us here, okay? According to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. According to Christ. See, how many know it's Christ who we build on? It is Christ who we follow. It is Christ who we're trusting. Not the tradition of man, not the philosophy of man, but the word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. See, the gospel is the power of God. You say, well, I thought God was the power. How many know God and his gospel is the same? It's the word that Jesus spoke. It's the power of God. And this is why people are trying to discredit it. Why? Because this is the power of God. When God reveals this to us, when God began to quicken the word of God to us, how many know it makes us solid as a rock? And that's what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock, I will do what? Build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell will not be able to prevail against it. So this is what we build on, the word of God. Our lives have to be governed by this. I don't care what it looked like, what it feel like. The word of God is the truth. And this is what we have to build on, church. We can't build on all these things that are coming in this world. Well, that's so unique. And that is so, oh, that's new stuff. I'm sticking to the word. You got to stick to the word. Why? Because we know that that's the key to us coming out victorious every time is when I apply the word to my life. And I'm telling you, I see it, and I just want to, I wish I could just say this the way I really feel it on the inside, but I'm telling you that we got to get prepared for what's coming. We got to, church. I'm telling you, there are things that are going to come that's going to look like it's Jesus Christ himself, but we got to know the difference. The Bible said even the very elect can be deceived. So we got to get in and dig in. Amen? So he says see to it that no one take you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of who? Men. You know what men says? Well, you know, God really didn't mean it that way. Hey, you really don't have to love people. You know, you really don't have to do what the words say. I mean, you know, he's too late for that. We really have to do what the words say. Amen? See, and whether that be my church life, whether that be my married life, whether that be on my job, whether that be just me just living in this world, everything needs to be governed by Scripture for the believer. And I know you're saying, well, you're saying I got to read the Word? Yes, I'm saying you got to read the Word. Let me reverse that. Don't just read it, study it. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, well, I don't have time. That's a device of the enemy. That's a device of the enemy to tell you you don't have time to study the word of God. Let me share. I'm just being real with you, church. We make time for things that we value. We make time for things that we really love to do. Why not the word of God? Why not the word of God? See, do you know that if we would study the word of God and allow the word to get in us, a lot of things will begin to fall in place for us. Amen? Okay. You ready for this? Are you ready for it? Now, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? See, it's time out to just, you know, feel like, well, I'm only here, you know, for a bunch of trials and a bunch of disappointments. See, you're more valued to God than you really realize. Because God don't waste time, see. You're here because there's a purpose for your life. So don't feel like, well, you know, I'm just existing. That ain't for me. Ain't none of this. How many know we all got to prepare ourselves for what's coming? I'm telling you. Not trying to scare you into anything. I just want to make you aware, okay? I just want to make you aware. I'm not trying to put fear in you. I'm not trying to preach down to you. I want you to be aware for what's coming, because people are going to start doing things, and you, if you don't know what the word of God's saying, you're going to be scratching your head wondering, well, I wonder, is that really true? No, get in the word of God now. See, you never wait till the storm comes. You prepare before the storm comes. Amen? Do I need to say that again? Don't wait till the storm comes. Prepare now before the storm comes. Okay? Y'all okay? All right. Stand to your feet. Is there anyone here today that do not know Jesus Christ? Anyone? Okay. All right. So we all saved, folks. Okay. Now, because you are saved, because you're born again, I mean, you know, you can get into this word and begin to understand what God is saying. See? Don't use it, well, I don't understand. He said, if any man like wisdom, do what? Ask of God. If you don't understand what you're reading, ask God. Take the time and say, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Because we need to know this word, see. I'm telling you, we need to know this. I mean, just like you know your name, you need to know this word. Why? Because sometimes you might not have a chance to open the scripture, but because you have prepared yourself, the Holy Spirit can bring it back to you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. And God, I just pray that the words that you have given me to give to your people, Lord, God, that it would take root. And God, that it would bring forth the fruit, Lord. And God, we know apart from you, we can do nothing, Lord. And God, our dependency is on you, Lord. And God, we thank you for an opportunity, God, that we can live out, even in a corrupt world, God, we can still be victorious, Lord. So, Father, we thank you and we pray that you strengthen your people, Lord. I pray, God, as we depart from this place, never your presence, watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.